You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, and for the rest of the hour, we're going to talk about health and medicine from a little different point of view with Dr. Andrew Weil. He's going to be joining us here. Dr. Weil is certainly, he's a best-selling author. He's got 10 books out. He says that, as reported at the Institute of Medicine, he says that the use of we should be using more, alternative medicines and get people onto this, thinking about different ways of doing alternative medicines. He's probably done more than anyone to try to get alternative medicines and therapies included in your medical doctor's black bag, and if not, to help you decide which ones are worth looking into. He's written more than 10 books. There's a report issued in January by the Institute of Medicine. It says that the use of complementary and alternative medicines is, quote, widespread among the U.S. population. All of us are doing it. About a third of adults surveyed reported they have used some so-called alternative treatment. Could be herbal medicine, could be acupuncture. But it's just interesting to note that the report went on also to say that fewer than 40% of the users of complementary and alternative medicines have told their doctors that they're using these therapies. And, as we just heard by our previous guest, Dr. Schmidt, he was saying, if you're going to take herbal medicines, you got to tell your doctor that you're doing it so that he can, monitor your blood and talk about other medications you might be on. Dr. Andrew Weil will talk to us about it now. He's a clinical professor of medicine and director of the program in integrative medicine at the University of Arizona in Tucson. And as I say, he's author of 10 books, including 8 Weeks to Optimum Health, Spontaneous Healing, Healthy Aging. He joins us from KUAZ Studios in Tucson. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Weil.
Good afternoon.
Did you hear this? Catch any part of that last thing?
Yes, I listened to the whole thing with great interest.
What is your reaction to this depression and these over-the-counter things you can get?
My colleagues and I at the University of Arizona had a conference last November on integrative therapies and depression. It was a 2-day conference. We had a lot of health professionals there and reviewed a great many alternative treatments for depression. I think there's a lot out there that people should know about. I would first note that when you're dealing with severe depression, which carries a high risk of suicide, I don't think that people should be treating themselves. This really requires the supervision of a qualified mental health professional, and it may require treatment with pharmaceutical drugs. But I think for mild to moderate depression, there are a lot of alternatives, not just things you can take, by the way. Aerobic exercise, if it's done vigorously enough and regularly enough, is a very effective treatment and preventive for depression. There are a number of things that I think people should know about. I would not include DHEA as one of my top 5 or 6 just because it is a hormone, and hormones have very general effects, and I'm a little cautious about using them without knowing more about long-term side effects.
Mm-hmm. But you do talk about St. John's Wort in your book.
That's probably the most widely used of the alternatives. It's been around for a long time. As your guest said, there are many studies documenting its effects. By the way, the negative study that was very widely reported was in severe depression, and I don't think that was worth doing in the first place. St. John's Wort is not indicated for the treatment of severe depression. Mm-hmm. But for mild to moderate depression, I think it can be quite effective. However, many of the practitioners that I talk to say that they often have to use considerably higher doses than people ordinarily take, maybe 2 or 3 times the standard recommended dose. Side effects with it are rare. There is one concern, which touches on what you said earlier about letting the physician know what you're doing. St. John's Wort can change the metabolism of a number of pharmaceutical drugs, particularly the drugs that are used to treat HIV infection, for example, and birth control pills, making them less effective. Mm-hmm. So unless somebody's overseeing all that, you could get into trouble with either unwanted pregnancies or a resurgence of the HIV virus.
Mm-hmm. You've been doing this for over 30 years, talking about alternative medicines in all different forms. How close, or are we any closer to having standard medicine accept any of these kinds of different ways of doing things?
We're pretty close. First of all, there is in existence now a group called the Consortium of Academic Health Centers for Integrative Medicine. We now have 27 member medical schools in the U.S. and Canada, and these are leading medical schools. It's Harvard, Duke, UC San Francisco, Georgetown, and it's involvement at the levels of deans and chancellors who recognize that medical education has to change in a way that embraces integrative treatments. Secondly, is there widespread consumer demand for this kind of medicine? And I don't mean just alternative medicine. I mean the sensible integration of conventional and alternative medicine. And by the way, I think it's about 50% of people now using these things. Mm-hmm. But the real motivation, I think, will be economic analysis, because you know we're going to see the total devolution of the healthcare system in this country, and I would predict that very quickly healthcare is going to become the number one domestic issue next to terrorism, I think in this atmosphere, it will become apparent that integrative treatment has the potential to produce equal or better outcomes in many kinds of common medical conditions at significantly lower costs. And I think once people begin to see that, I think this will truly become a mainstream phenomenon.
But you have so much money, so much lobbying money from major pharmaceutical companies controlling, controlling Congress, and now we see the problems with the FDA. It doesn't seem possible that, you know, these companies are not in the same kind of business that it would allow for that kind of approach to advance.
Well, I'd say two things there. First of all, I think Big Pharma has overreached itself, and we're going to see a major reaction against it. I think the disasters that we've seen with drugs like Vioxx and Celebrex are going to be repeated many times over. I think that people will get that these companies have been making really obscene profits. So I think the day of Big Pharma is coming to a close. In addition, I think these companies, if they're smart, will move into the manufacture of natural products that are safer and more effective and better tested than those that are currently available in health food stores.
Mm-hmm. One of your great tenets of your work is the healing power of the mind. Has that made – have we made any inroads into that at all?
You know, I think this is the best researched area of what have been called complementary and alternative medicine. I think that mind-body health and mind-body medicine should be an integral part of the education of all health professionals. I think that the therapies that are based on the mind-body connection are still very much underutilized in medicine. I'm trying to remedy that in the trainings that I do of physicians and in my program. I would say that the research in this area is more and more convincing. You may have seen very recently there was a study showing that women with a higher perceived level of stress actually had lower levels of telomerase, the enzyme that can restore the dividing capacity of cells and is a marker of age-related loss of function. I mean, that's a pretty dramatic example of how something in the mental, emotional realm can have a very concrete effect in the cellular, subcellular realm.
Mm-hmm. Let me read you a quote that Arnold Relman, former editor of New England Journal, wrote about you and the New Republic. He said, I'm sure you know where I'm headed. He said, the scientific method is not for a while the only way or even the best way to learn about nature and the human body. Many important truths are intuitively evident and do not need a scientific support, even when they seem to contradict logic. Did he sum up correctly your thoughts?
No. Dr. Relman was actually one of my teachers when I was a student at Harvard Medical School, and he seems to have been a very assiduous reader of my published works. I am a great believer in intuition, so he's right about that part. I very much am in favor of scientific method and an evidence base for integrative medical practice. In fact, all of the clinicians that I train when they prepare treatment plans for patients are asked to look through the research literature and find the evidence base for the treatments that are being recommended. But I would say this. I would like to see us think in somewhat different terms about evidence in medicine, and I would like to see people get in the habit of using a sliding scale of evidence that would work this way. The greater the potential of a treatment to cause harm, the stricter the standards of evidence it should be held to for efficacy. I think that would cut through a lot of the confusion that we now have. In alternative medicine, many of the treatments that we recommend are of quite low harm potential relative to conventional treatments. And so I might be willing to recommend them in the absence of definitive evidence for efficacy while waiting for that evidence to come in. And I think that's a reasonable way to operate.
Let me ask you about I'd love to be able to sit in on a case history you do with a patient and you do still see patients, do you not?
I do.
With people spending 15 minutes in a doctor's office for seeking, you know, how the heck can you ever learn anything, certainly an integrative approach, about your patient?
Hey, you're lucky if you're getting 15 minutes.
I mean,
one of the great principles of integrative medicine is that the therapeutic relationship is central. There is something magical that happens when a practitioner sits with a patient. Just the act of sitting and listening to a patient's story can itself activate a healing response in a patient. And I think that that interaction has been one of the sources of greatest satisfaction for physicians and other practitioners. And to me, the great black mark against for-profit medicine in this era of managed care in our culture is that it has completely sabotaged that relationship. It is not impossible that if you have 10 minutes with a patient or 15 minutes that you can form that kind of healing relationship, but it's unlikely. And I think that, by the way, is one of the major reasons why we're seeing many people leaving the practice of clinical medicine, that the satisfaction has gone out of it. And something has to change there. I'm quite confident that this era of for-profit medicine will end. And I don't know exactly when or how, but I think its days are numbered. It's not working.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Lots of people would like to talk to you and us, hopefully. Chris in Talkeetna, Alaska, is it?
Yes, it is.
Hi.
Hi. I have a unique situation. About 5 years ago, I was on Premarin. I was on it for 5 years, and I started developing leg cramps. My heart started racing. I really felt lousy, and they got worse and worse. So I took myself off. I read 15 to 18 books on hormone replacements, dealing with Premarin, DHEA, and I finally put myself on 25 milligrams of DHEA with the help of my husband, who had been studying to be a doctor, but he isn't. But he's very knowledgeable. And ever since then, I have felt absolutely wonderful, and I will continue to take the DHEA, and I've taken it now for about 2 years.
That's an interesting report. If it's working for you, I would continue it. I think that's a low dose and is not likely to do any harm. Because DHA is a hormone, I think it should be used cautiously. I would generally recommend that people not take it unless you have a blood test that shows that your level of DHA to be abnormally low for your age. Mm-hmm. And I think you also have to find products that are of good quality, because there's great variation out there. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm interested in reports like that.
Talking with Dr. Andrew Weil this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I notice in your writings and on your webpage, you do single out, I don't know if they're paid advertisements for which medicines are really good to take or not, which brand names have the real stuff in it or not. But that is a big problem about knowing, which ones are the potent ones, which ones have the junk in them.
It's also, by the way, a big problem for physicians, who are often very reluctant to recommend these things because of their concerns about quality. I have long lobbied for the FDA to set up a new division of natural therapeutic agents that would regulate vitamins, minerals, herbal products, other dietary supplements. But I think it would have to be done from two points of view. First, this division would have to be staffed by people who are knowledgeable about natural products, which are different from isolated chemicals. And this would have to be done not from the point of view of trying to thwart consumer access to these things, but rather to ensure that consumers had access to better products of known quality and efficacy.
1-800-989-8255. We'll go to the phones. I just want to make the same little caveat that I say every time we have a physician or someone on the phone. We ethically cannot treat you on the telephone. So please refrain from asking Dr. Weil to give a diagnosis or ask you why it's not working or something like that. But we'll practice our own kind of medicine and see how close we can get to that. 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to line 5 and Anthony in the Dingman's Ferry, Pennsylvania. Hi, Anthony, is that you?
Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Where is Dingman's Ferry?
Dingman's Ferry is in the northeast corner of Pennsylvania, right on the border next to the Delaware River.
Ah, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment that I had a problem with depression for a long time. The main thing was I used to look at other people and things that they had and always used to get depressed about my life and how it was going and, you know, the ownership thing. And I started to use meditation. A company called Centerpoint Research puts out some meditation CDs and that you listen through headphones. And in about a year, I haven't felt better my whole life than I felt after doing this.
Anthony, that's music to my ears. And I have, at this conference that I mentioned on integrative therapies, one of the things that I spoke about was the Buddhist perspective on depression. You know, there is actually a specialty of Buddhist psychology. And in that view, depression is the necessary other phase of seeking stimulation or highs.
Yeah.
And I would say that our whole culture is characterized by that, that we constantly are looking for new forms of stimulation and arousal. And the Buddhists would say, then we're going to have to pay a price with depression. And their remedy would be meditation. That is to try to cultivate seeds of evenness of mood. Now, how many psychotherapists and especially psychopharmacologists do you hear telling patients to learn about meditation or to practice meditation techniques? I think that's a very sensible prescription for our culture.
Yes. And Center Point, they actually say that you're supposed to listen to the CD with headphones, and it's bells and rain and waterfalls. But in the background, they run different frequencies, high and low.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually say that it can heal your brain, which I think it did. And I have my son listening to it now, you know, to help him with some of his problems. I think
great, thanks.
Great.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
1-800-989-8255. When you say an integrative approach, what does that mean? All parts of what?
First of all parts of the person. That is, we're looking not just at the physical body of the patient, but also at the mental, emotional sphere and even a person's spiritual life, as well as all aspects of their lifestyle, diet, exercise, stress, and so forth.
Hang on. We'll get into that. I have to take a break. I shouldn't have asked you that question, though, with the break coming up. I apologize. We'll get the full answer when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Andrew Weil. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flato. We're talking with Dr. Andrew Weil, a clinical professor of medicine, director of the program in integrative medicine at the University of Arizona in Tucson. He's also author of 10 books. Now, I think we got all 10 books sent to us at once a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it's almost like you're having a renaissance now. I mean, people have discovered that what you've been saying for years is true. I mean, why are so many people interested in this now?
I think this is a sociocultural trend with very deep roots going back to the end of the 1960s. And it's happening all over the world at different rates in different countries. I think people are fed up with paternalistic, authoritarian care. They want to be more empowered. They want to be more responsible for their own well-being. I think there is increasing suspicion with things synthetic and a desire to find natural treatments when possible. So I think it's the coalescing of a lot of different trends. Hmm. It is not a fad.
I'm sure you don't remember. I don't remember the exact time, but when I interviewed you over 30 years ago, when the Natural Mind came out, and that was
1972.
My first days at NPR I was there since 71, and it was your basically coming out book, right? About your philosophy of life and medicine and marijuana, things like that.
Exactly. And actually, there's a little, there's a few pages at the end of that book which really summarize my medical philosophy that I have now developed into this system of integrative medicine.
Do you think marijuana should be legalized?
Absolutely. I think we're very foolish in denying ourselves the use of a natural product that is so low in toxicity and works for some people, including for conditions that we really don't have conventional treatments for.
Mm-hmm. What are the conditions that people most seek your attention for that they, as you say, they're fed up? What are they looking for?
You know, I think it's really everything, Ira. The people that come to our clinic. By the way, you know, one of the if I can refer to Dr. Relman again, one of the things that annoys me about what he says is he has actually said that the reason that people who practice as I do have it so easy is that we see mostly the worried well. You know, I wish he would see what comes into our clinic at the University of Arizona. I love some worried well. You know, we see people with very complex multi-system disease, advanced disease. A lot of the patients that come to see me have overwhelming illness and are really been given no hope by conventional physician. Others come with just difficult, strange conditions for which conventional medicine has no answers. And others come with very routine things like headaches and allergies and sinus conditions, who just haven't been helped by standard medicine and realize that there must be other ways out there.
And so you're asking them to take charge of their own lives and use their body to heal themselves and to become smart about taking charge.
And it's not just me asking them that. I think the people who come already have come to that realization that they're the ones responsible. And one of the things that I tell the physicians that I train is that one of the joys of practicing in this way is that you attract to yourself motivated patients. And it's a great pleasure to work with motivated patients.
I think we have one on the line. Beth in Shaker Heights, Ohio. Hi, Beth.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
As I listen to Dr. Weil, and I admit I've not read your books, but my son is an avid reader, and I'm glad they're selling well, but it seems to me that everyone that I know who goes to the doctor for anything from mild depression to anxiety, and I'm talking to their general, their primary care physician, they get on a drug immediately, without any question of any kind of talk therapy. I find that so sad that we are drugging our children from, age 10 on with Ritalin. Seems like we're such a drug-crazy country. And I think the studies show that people and doctors who treat the whole patient, whether it's a psychiatrist or, a general primary care physician, that those are the most productive people in society over time. And they're the ones who cost us the least amount of money, on welfare or medical benefits or whatever. And I'm just so sad to see that has just really rolled up in a ball and died.
Yeah, I agree with your viewpoint. I think I trace a lot of this back to failures of our educational system. I think medical students today and the students in various health professions simply do not learn about the basic facts about nutrition and health, about other lifestyle approaches to changing mental and emotional conditions as well as physical conditions, to other treatments available. Just with regard to anxiety and depression, the most effective treatment that I have found for anxiety disorders, and this is the whole range from mild anxiety to panic disorder, is breathing exercises. There are some very simple breathing techniques that control anxiety much better than any drug that the pharmaceutical companies have. And these are free. They don't require any equipment. They're highly time effective. They really work. Another great area of research at the moment is on omega-3 fatty acids in mental emotional disorders. I would say anyone with depression, with attention deficit disorder in kids, even anything on the autistic disorder spectrum, that these kids should be put on fish oil supplements. The research in this area is very strong. There is no downside to doing this, and the effects are really can be very strikingly beneficial.
But you got to get the fish oils that don't have all those crud in it, right? From the
true
fish.
Most of the good brands out there are now. There's a process called molecular distillation, and they are certified to be free of heavy metals and organic contaminants.
All right, let's go to the phones. Deb in Berlin, New Jersey.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I'm fortunate enough that my health care insurer pays for things like chiropractic, and there are certain massage therapy clinics that will take a discount rate. But the cynic in me says that that's probably because not many people take advantage of these types of treatments. My question to the doctor is whether, as these types of alternative treatments get more popular. Do you think that maybe healthcare insurers will be more resistant to paying for these kinds of treatments?
No, I really think it's going to be the other way. I think it's we have to do outcome studies that will generate data that we can take to the people who pay for healthcare to show them that it's in their interest to support this kind of treatment, that it saves money. I'm absolutely convinced of that, but we have to do the studies to produce the data to prove it. As consumer demand increases for integrative treatment and complementary and alternative medicine, and as the healthcare crisis deepens, I think that the people who pay for healthcare, including the insurers, will eventually recognize that it really is in their interest, that it saves money for everyone to support this approach.
Well, other than singing the praises of my chiropractor to people, how do we as patients advocate this kind of treatment to maybe more resistant coworkers or friends and family?
And how do you get people to do the studies that will prove what?
Yeah, that's a big question, and the problem is that these studies are expensive. My answer would be to go to the private sector. I just saw a report today in the news, a speech by the CEO of General Motors saying that American corporations are being hobbled in their ability to compete internationally because they are so staggered by healthcare costs at home. So I think the corporations have very high incentive to put some funds into these kind of studies. And if we could have partnerships between the federal government and the private sector to fund these kinds of outcome studies, I think we could produce the kind of results that we need.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's go to Jim in Massillon, Ohio. Is that where it is, Jim?
Yes, Massillon is fine. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Quick case study. I'm a science teacher, mid-50s, high HDL, low blood pressure, none of the markers, exercised well all my life, do all the right things, healthy forever until, and this goes, I think, to some research that came out earlier this week. December of 2003, I live alone. That's my biggest risk factor, probably, and a companion animal died, a dog that I'd had and traveled the country with. I didn't think it affected me too much along about January or February of 04, began to have sleep problems, increased tinnitus in an ear, chest pains front to back, left to right. Obviously went to a doctor for my physical. The doctor pronounced me healthy, but he said I was probably depressed. Tried me on two or three different pills, which I've never taken anything other than low-dose aspirin and vitamins. I tried them for 3 or 4 weeks each. I thought they were either nothing or worse. So I threw those all away and basically lived with it, kept up my exercise, watched my diet, took vitamins, just did all the same things I'd done for my first 56 trips around the sun. And the end of the story, and I don't know if what you feel about this broken heart syndrome thing, but just about a year of that, and toward the end of December, beginning of this year, it's all basically gone away. All my strength's back for exercise, sleep pattern is normal, and so forth. And
yeah, there was that story this week about broken heart syndrome where people were really could die from something very quickly, that something happened in their lives, divorce, death of a family member. Dr. Weil, you're very much on the influence of big on the influence of mind and body. Is there something here?
I think this is that caller's experience is very consistent with research that shows that within a year following the death of a spouse or loved one, that there is measurable depression of immunity, that this really has wide-reaching effects through the hormonal system, through the autonomic nervous system. So I think this is a very real phenomenon.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go on. You know, one practical – I don't know whether your caller has gotten another companion animal, but I would certainly recommend that. I live with dogs. I think there's interesting research showing that people that have companion animals recover from surgery faster. This is consistent with good medical research.
You also say to get the stress out of your life, and one of the things you talk about is turning off the news.
Not science Friday. I don't know that you can get stress out of your life. I think what you can do is master techniques of neutralizing stress so that it doesn't cause damage in your body. You know, I think we all are subject to stress, but what you want to learn to do is process it in ways that spare your body. And that can be done through doing yoga, through meditation of the sort that your previous caller mentioned, of doing breathing exercises. There's many relaxation technologies out there.
Talking with Dr. Andrew Weil this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I loved your... I don't remember which book it was now. I've read them all on putting fresh flowers in your home.
You know, that's an 8-week stop in health. I give people a lot of suggestions for ways to this is in the mental, emotional, spiritual realm, ways of increasing spiritual energy. And, you know, one is to make a list of people in whose company you feel better and to make a resolution to spend more time with them. It's a very simple thing to do. You know, some people bring you up, some people bring you down. Yeah. And you have choice as to how much time you spend with them.
This breakdown in the medical care system in the country, I think, you know, that is probably the biggest, as you say, the biggest challenge next to terrorism. Do you think that the people in charge understand this as much as you do?
I don't think so. I don't think they get how global it is and how much it demands a really total rethinking of the nature of medicine and the nature of healthcare. But I think we're going to be forced into that position.
And by the, probably by the insurance companies who don't want to pay for these drugs that they might, people might not need
exactly. And by what's happening with corporations, you know, where with has really become the greatest single problem for them.
1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Renata in Rockland, California. Hi, Renata. Hey, are you there, Renata? We've lost Renata.
No.
All right, let's go to let's see if we get a quick call in from a Betsy in Grand Rapids. Hi, Betsy.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi there.
I've got a 6-year-old who was diagnosed at 4 with ADHD with possible bipolar. When the doctor said I should put him on stimulants, I about flipped because his problem with his bipolar was not depression but manic rages. And the stimulants increase the manic rages. What I ended up have been doing is he is getting neurofeedback therapy. He's also doing a listening program, which is a music to train the ear to try to repattern the brain waves. And he's also been doing some work with an acupressure PT who does acupressure and Feldenkrais. I wonder if you're familiar with those therapies.
I am familiar with all of them, but I would tell you that ahead of any of them, I would get him on fish oils, which are specific for his diagnoses. You want to start with at least a gram a day of a good product, and you want to make sure that it has a high percentage of DHA. DHA is the particular omega-3 fatty acid that's associated with brain development and brain health.
Oh, okay.
And you can go up to higher doses than that, but start with a gram a day. You'll be very pleased with the results.
I have been having good results with the listening programs, with the neural feedback.
Yeah, that's great. I would continue all of that. I think that's all very sensible.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks.
This is the second or third time you've talked about fish oils. Is this really one of the the unsung heroes of?
It's actually pretty well sung now. The research. This is an area very hot research in the mental emotional area.
Because we were told we can't eat salmon anymore because of the contamination.
Well, I still eat salmon, but I get wild Alaskan salmon. I'm pretty picky about the fish that I eat, but I also take a fish oil supplement because I think that in order to get the doses of the omega-3s that you want without the concern about the contaminants there, probably these supplements are the better way to go.
We got about 30 seconds. Any last thoughts on where, you know, where your work is heading or where, you know, you think the thoughts about medicine are heading?
Well, as I said, I think integrative medicine is medicine of the future, and I've always said that the success of this movement is that we'll be able to drop the word integrative, and this will just be good medicine. It's what medicine has been in the past when it serves the needs of people. It's what it can be in the future.
Are med schools teaching it anymore?
They are beginning to, and there's real momentum building for this in academic medicine.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much for taking time to talk with us today, Dr. Weil.
Good to talk to you again.
Andrew Weil is a clinical professor of medicine, director of the program in integrative medicine at University of Arizona in Tucson, author of 10 books or so. I recommend all of them. They're quite interesting reading, and you can make your own decisions from them. Kevin Witt is our technical director. Our audio engineers are Matt Galick and Paul Masiello in New York, Jim Blackwood in Tucson. Greg Smith composed our theme music, and we had help today from NPR librarians Kim Molesky and Alphonse Vinn. If you missed any of the links we talked about, you want to know how to get to Dr. Weil's webpage, and you forgot how to do all that stuff, surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. Easy name to remember. You can also get Science Friday's Kids Connection there. Click on the word teachers on the little button on the left. Make a free teaching curriculum out of Science Friday. You can use them in your classroom. Also, you can download back editions of Science Friday on your iPod or listen on Real Audio. Take them with you on your Audible players. Any of the kinds of other links are up there for your perusal. We're going to be in Washington, D.C. next week. Come on out to the American Association for the Advancement of Science meeting. We'll be broadcasting live. If you want to sit in on the radio show, you're more than welcome to wander on over to the meeting and join us in the audience. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week in Washington. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.